Good to see all of you. I meant to mention, and he was hiding in the choir, so I didn't, but it's good to have Josh Bartlow home. Yeah. Josh is a member of the United States Air Force, flies fighter jets overseas, and we appreciate all you do, brother, for us, for our country. It's great to have you here on a little break. So welcome. We're going to take a look at a scripture, one of the great promises in God's word. We're just going to look at two verses, just two verses, but it's an absolute great promise that we need to get a hold of today about the amazing ability of God, and it's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Would you stand as we look at this great promise from God? It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Lord, thank you so much for your word and this tremendous promise. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts from your word today. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive your word and your truth. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. You may be seated. That is just a great verse, and really, the question I have for all of us today is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? It's about the marvelous ability of God. This is kind of a doxology. Try the end of this prayer that Paul is praying here, and it's referring to God, now to him, to Almighty God. And since Paul is claiming that God is able to do more than we can ask or imagine, we need to look, take a look at who God is. You know, J.B. Phillips wrote a famous book a few years back that's called Your God is Too Small. That a lot of us have too small of an idea of who God is. God is infinitely greater than we can imagine. We sang a lot of songs today about how great thou art and how great is our God. He is great. And we need to get a handle on that, how great he is. Because what we believe about who God is affects how we live and how we pray and how we have faith. Let's look for a moment at this ability of God. We see first that God is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. The word is omniscient. It describes God's ability to know everything. His knowledge is inclusive and comprehensive. He knows all that is knowable. You know, sometimes scientists discover a future a galaxy way out there, millions of light years out in space. God already knew it was there, you know. Or they'll discover a new species of animal that they've never seen before. God already knew it was there. He knows everything. He knows everything about the past. He knows everything about the present. He knows everything about the future. He knows everything about mankind. He knows everything about the condition of our world. He knows everything. He knows everything about you and your situation. He knows everything. He is all-knowing. The scripture says, "Great is the Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." So God is all-knowing. He is also all-powerful. Omnipotent is the word they use for that. He is all-powerful. God can do anything. He does whatever he wills to do. All other powers fade in comparison to God. By his power, he created this whole universe. By his power, he keeps it all together. He can do anything. One of the Old Testament names for God is El Shaddai, which is translated the Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty. When we realize the omnipotence of God, we know that what the angel said to Mary is true when he gave him that great announcement that she would give birth to a son and he would be the Son of God. Mary, the angel said, nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. We need to get a handle on that truth. Pastor Bill Heibel says this, and I like the way he says it. Whatever it takes for you to own the doctrine of God's omnipotence, do it. Until you own it, you'll be faint-hearted in prayer. You'll make a few wishes on your knees, but you won't be able to persevere in prayer until you know in your heart that God is able. A prayer warrior is a person who's convinced that God is omnipotent, that God has power to do anything, to change anyone, and to intervene in any circumstance. A person who truly believes this refuses to doubt God. Nothing is impossible with God. We also see that God is ever-present. He's ever-present. It was a speeding driver that was going down the road, and he got caught by radar. There was a helicopter hovering up above doing radar on cars and letting the officers down below who was speeding. The guy got picked up, and the frustrated driver says, "Seems like everybody's out to get me lately. How did you know I was speeding?" And all the policeman did was point up into the sky. The driver said, "Well, you mean I'm not just paranoid? Even he's trying to get me?" No, God's not out to get us, but he does see us. He does see us. He's everywhere. He's ever present. Now, I know that's hard for us to understand because we're limited by time and space. You can only be at one place at one time. God is spirit. He can be anywhere at the same time and everywhere. He's not like he divides himself into pieces. He is all there. He's all here. God is ever present. The psalmist writes about it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. So God is all powerful. God is all knowing. He's ever present. And also God is willing to act. Isn't it frustrating when you know someone that can do something to help and to change something and they don't do it? You know they have the ability, you know they have the power, and they don't do it. Kind of sounds like our politicians in Washington, D.C. God, however, has the power and the knowledge, and he's willing to act. He's willing to act. This God is willing to bless us with what we need as we serve him. So how much is God able to do? Paul, in this great prayer, says first that God is able to do more than can be measured. We love measurements, don't we? We measure height and depth and speed and weight and we just measure everything. We want to know measurements. We're into measurements. But the power of God is beyond measurement. You can't measure it. He's able to do more than can be humanly measured. Our finite measurements do not fit the infinite God. We can't measure what he can do. I love the story that's told of Dr. Green, Dr. George Green. He was the first medical missionary to Nigeria. Went there in the 1920s. He was sailing into this area. He was the only white man on the boat, and there were war drums that started to play along the river. And the boat captain told him, "What they're telling you is, if you come here, we will kill you. I can't let you off the boat." Dr. Green said, "I have hundreds of friends praying for me at home. I will get off the boat." Dr. Green got off the boat. He served 40 years in Nigeria as a medical missionary. In 1923, he made the first hospital in Nigeria. Over the next decades, he founded dozens of clinics and hospitals. He trained thousands of medical personnel, including 250 surgeons. He last count how many people he led to Christ, but it was in the tens of thousands. Today, if you were to go to that part of the world, you'll find worship centers all over there that say the Dr. Green Memorial Chapel. He had such an impact. The time came to him to return to America for the last time. He had spent months saying goodbye, and he sailed down that same river he had came down 40 years earlier, remembering the fear that he had when he sailed in there. And he heard the drums start again. He leapt to his feet and strained to hear them. But this time he wasn't full of fear, he was full of joy. And tears ran down his cheeks as 1,000 drums lining the shores for miles played in unison, "All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall." He had such an impact on that nation. Could not be measured. Could never imagine it. Could never measure what God did through this one man. God is also able to do more than we can ask for. Paul says God is able to do more than we can ask for. Now, we know when we pray, we need to pray rightly. We need to pray in the will of God, but we also need to remember that God is able to do more than we can ask for. And I wonder sometimes if God is disappointed in our prayers. I wonder if sometimes God hears our prayers and he goes, "Really, that's all? Really, that's all you're praying for?" When he has all this stuff, everything to give us and the blessings to give us and the resources to serve him. You know, I think about our own church. You know, we had a few years ago, about 3 years ago, we started a stewardship campaign to pay off our debt. About a year into that campaign, we received a $300,000 anonymous gift. And we used that to pay off the debt really quickly, paid off a lot of debt. But when I think back to that story, when we started that campaign, none of us prayed for $300,000. I never thought about praying for $300,000. It was beyond what we could ask for. None of us thought that was possible. And yet, God is able to do more than we ask for. I love the story in Acts chapter 12 where, you know, it's a story where Peter is arrested and thrown into prison, and the church gets together and they pray for Peter. Oh, Lord, help Peter, help Peter. And they're having an all-night prayer meeting, and the Lord breaks Peter out of jail. The door is just open. He walks out and he goes to the house where they're having a prayer meeting, knocks on the door. The servant girl sees him there, doesn't let him in, runs back and tells the prayer meeting, Peter's outside. And they say, no way, he's in prison, he's in jail. Can't be outside. We're praying for him. Don't interrupt our prayer meeting. We're praying for Peter. No, he's outside. He's outside. And they go open the door, and there's Peter. God answered their prayers more than they could ask for. God is able to do that. God is able to do more than we can dream. Got any dreamers out here? Good imaginations? God is able to do more than we can dream. More than our most pumped up, mind-boggling, goosebump-raising dreams. God is able to do more than that. We need to just trust him. You know, the scripture says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, God says. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God knows better than we know. He's able to do more than we can dream. We need to trust him. We need to trust him. He's able to do more than we can dream. One of the places that we're going to visit when we're in Israel is a place called Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was an amazing Roman colony. It's beautiful there. There's beautiful streams and springs. But it was a beautiful, fancy Roman city, and with pagan worship and false worship there. And Jesus took his disciples there. And when he was there, he asked the disciples, who do the people say that I am? And they gave some answers, and they said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And at that moment, Christ said, upon this rock, that confession, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. He made that declaration right in that fancy Roman powerful town. The disciples could not in their greatest imagination imagine that 2,000 years later, that church would have 2 billion plus people that are part of it. And the Roman Empire has been long, long gone. He's able to do more than we can dream. More than we can dream. So how does God work? How does God work? He works according to his limitless power. It's according to his power. Out of his glorious riches, God is all powerful. His supply is unlimited. His supply is adequate for us. We don't have to worry. He works according to his limitless power. There is no restrictions on his power and what he's willing to do. Jeremiah 32 says, ah, sovereign Lord, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing's too hard for you. We need to believe that. We also know that he works in and through his children. He says he's according to his power that is a work within you. That's us. There was a man walking down the road. He was hiking out in the countryside, and he saw way off in the distance a man pumping one of those old-fashioned pumps where you just pump a handle like this. And as he continued to walk, he was amazed that this man didn't stop. Just tireless, didn't stop, never took a break, just continued to stop. So he got closer and closer. He said, I'm going to go down this lane and figure out what this guy's doing. So he went down to this farmhouse, and as he got closer, he began to laugh. Kitty realized that it really wasn't a man. It was a stick man wired to a pump handle that was going up and down, and an artesian well was forcing water out. And so the man wasn't pumping the well was pumping the man. Man wasn't doing the work. The well was doing the work. God works in and through us. We don't do the work. God does the work. He's the one that works in and through us. That's what we see in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, you see the early church going out and do things that is impossible for them to do. They healed people and raised people from the dead and cast out demons. They couldn't do any of that. But God did it through them. God did it. That's the way he wants to work. Jesus said these words to his disciples. He said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. That is a mind-boggling promise. Do you realize the same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was on earth serving here, lives in us. Same Spirit lives in us, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said we're able to do what he could do because it isn't really us. It's God doing the work. So how can we see God work in this way? Well, there's several things. First, we must surrender to the will of God. We must surrender to the will of God. We must really down deep in our hearts desire for God's will to be done. Psalm 48, I desire to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart. Now, I know that here's where it's tricky. Because sometimes we pray and things aren't answered the way we want them to be answered. And it probably is. It isn't God's will. Or maybe the timing's not right. Maybe we're praying the wrong thing. But we need to really be sold out completely to God's will. And God knows our heart. He knows if we really want his will, if we're trying to manipulate him. You know, sometimes I think we can use God. You can't use God. But Jesus said, if you pray anything according to God's will, it'll be done. So we really need to get a handle on this surrender to the will of God. You can trust the will of God. Surrender to the will of God. Secondly, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the way the Holy God works in our lives to give us power is through his Spirit. He told his disciples, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. Not before, but when the Spirit comes on you. God gives us his power by his Spirit. The Spirit of the living God lives in us, this all-powerful God, and that's why he can work in and through us. So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to trust God completely, and we need to yield or surrender to him absolutely. Give him control so that he can come in and be in control of our lives. Now, I don't know, doesn't it make sense that if we allow God to come in and be in control of our lives, to fill us with his Spirit, that he'll work in and through us because he's in control now. He's in control. He will work in and through us, not our power, his power. So we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must believe that God is able. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, said many Christians estimate difficulties in the light of their own resources and thus attempt little and often fail little in the little they attempt. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his power and presence with them. Our faith becomes great when we realize that God is great. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The devil would love nothing better than to steal our faith in God, to steal this faith that God is able to do something in our situation. Don't let him steal your faith. We need to believe deep down in our hearts that God is able. And we also need to obey God's directions. You see, God often involves us in the miracles that happen, but to do that, we need to listen and obey. I want to tell you a story. This was written by a man named Tim Elmore, who wrote a book called Pivotal Praying. He liked to go out in the streets and witness to people. And I want to just read a story that he tells in his own words. He says, I was out in the streets looking for someone to share with, and I came upon a group of young men dressed in leather and chains and ear and nose rings and haircuts you could get hurt on. When I spoke to them and asked them if they wanted to talk, one of them responded, what do you want to talk about? When I told him I wanted to talk about their faith in God, the spokesman, Damon, started cussing at me. He told me he didn't want to talk about spiritual stuff. I told him we could talk another time and began to walk away. As I was walking away, I heard Damon begin to talk about his back injury that he had injured in a construction accident and how much pain he was in. I could tell it was very real. In that moment, the Lord spoke to me in a still small voice, and he said, go back and pray for that man. I was stunned. I whispered back to the Lord, reminding him that guy had just told me he wasn't interested in spiritual stuff. When the Lord wouldn't let me go, I said, all right, I'll go back and pray for the guy, but if he gets mad, it's your fault. I stepped back into earshot and asked Damon if I'd heard correctly about his back. When he started to cuss at me again, I knew that I had. I cleared my throat and managed to say, well, I know you guys don't want to talk about spiritual stuff, but I believe in the power of prayer. And everything got quiet. I decided it was my cue to go on. I don't know what you believe, but if you wouldn't mind, I would take a minute and pray for your back. You want a what? Damon asked, without a cuss word this time. I repeated the offer. He couldn't turn it down. All of a sudden, you'd have thought I was introduced to sing the national anthem. They took off their hats, bowed their heads, and put their hands over their hearts. I prayed. God, show these guys that you are real and that you care for them. Reveal yourself to them as a great physician. Amen. The minute I ended my prayer, Damon stood straight up and yelled, what did you do to me? I said, nothing. I promise I didn't want to get any more trouble. He said, no, you did something. I felt all the pain leave my back when you said amen. At that point, I suddenly got it. Calmly, I began to explain the love of God and the power of God to these unchurched young men. I had their undivided attention. After my little explanation, some others formed a little healing line wanting prayer for various ailments, and we prayed several times that night. The next week, I was back on the street and noticed they were waiting for me with a lawn chair for me to set in. Two of them gave their hearts to the Lord. Isn't that a great story? But what I want you to catch from that story, if he hadn't have been listening to the Lord and obedient, he'd have missed it. He'd have missed it. I wonder, church, how many times we miss out on opportunities to see God work because we are not listening and we don't obey. And we move ourselves right out of a miracle, right out of a situation where we could see God do something amazing in someone's life. Throughout the Bible, we see this. God, you go back even in the Old Testament, God told Noah to build this ark, a crazy thing, and Noah did everything the Lord commanded him. He obeyed God, and he got to get in on this miracle. Throughout, there's so many stories we don't have time to go about. But we do make sure that we listen to God and we obey him. Obedience is an act of faith. The last thing, we need to seek to bring glory to God. It says here, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. To bring glory to God. If our motive is to glorify God by building his church, then God will share his power with us. He will share his power if our motive is right to bring glory to God. In Philippians 4, it says, to God and Father be glory forever and ever. You and I were created to bring glory to God. The church exists to bring glory to God. So if you ask for God something in prayer with your idea somehow to bring glory to you or glory to your church or glory to your denomination or whatever you want to say, it isn't going to happen. But if God knows our hearts, if he knows our motive is to bring glory to him and it's in his will, it's going to happen. And God will be glorified by what happens. We can't seek to use God for our purposes. We want to trust him and serve him for his purposes, to bring glory and honor to his name. I'm just going to close with this scripture. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably all you can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within you. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. We're going to close our service with a time of prayer together. And we're going to sing a song. We don't sing this song much anymore. It's an older chorus. But I wanted to sing it because it's really what we need to believe today in our hearts. And we need to believe it all the time. Nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? Remember that song? Nothing is impossible. We need to live that way. Trusting in God. Let's stand together. And if there's anything that you need to pray about today, come.